chapter 11, verse 22, it says, "So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God." Everybody say, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. And then it says, "For surely I say unto you that whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall be will be done, he shall have whatever he says." Okay, now let me ask, let's take a quick poll or survey. How many of you have been saying or talking to your mountain this week, past week? All right, there's a couple of you. That's less than half. That's why we have to keep teaching it, right? Because most people want to talk about their mountain or talk about their problems or talk about their pain or talk about their pressure they're under, but they don't talk to it. So Jesus has given us the most beautiful and most important, valuable, and significant teachings on the laws of faith that's in the entire Bible right now. He's saying have the faith of God, or have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. What does a God kind of faith is? It speaks words of faith. Father God and Jesus created the world in the beginning through words. We are to create and frame our world through words. The war against us is a war of words. And so mountains are made of words. We got to talk back to the mountain. We got to talk to the mountain. We got to dial the mountain up. 1-800-MOUNTAIN or a local call, 210-MOUNTAIN. Hallelujah. And so you have to say, So if your words are not being used to talk to your mountain, you're basically abdicating or relinquishing your authority as a believer. This is your authority as a believer. You say or command the mountain. You got to talk to the mountain. You got to say, mountain. And the mountain needs to hear your voice, not my voice, not your pastor's voice, not your sibling's voice, not your cousins and Pookie and Ray Ray and them voice. It's got to hear your voice. So you've got to say, mountain, I'm talking to you. Mountain is just an analogy of a big, seemingly impossible situation. You've got to talk to your mountain. Now, next week, we want everybody 100% saying, Pastor, I'm talking to my mountain. Now, we got to have to unlearn and uncondition ourselves to talk about our mountain. You've got to talk to it. You got to talk to those fears. You got to talk even through tears. You got to say something to the mountain. The mountain needs to hear your voice. In other words, your voice is your address in the spirit. There's no other voice like your voice. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 24, he says here, "Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So he's talking about faith by saying it, but also faith by praying. So every one of us should be practicing consistently faith by saying or by praying. Your faith needs to be working every single day. Your faith never needs to take a day off. You can take a family vacation or a fun vacation, but don't take a faith vacation. In other words, you release your faith every day through words. Words are the start button to everything. For everything you're believing for. Words are the start button for everything you're believing God for. Words are the start button. Hallelujah. To everything you're believing God for. So if you're walking out of the house, going to work, what are you believing God for at work, from your work, for your work? Praise God, for your career, for your business, for your job. What are you saying about your job? You can't say, well, I'm believing God for a promotion, and you're not saying anything about your promotion. I'm believing God for a bonus, but you're not saying anything about your bonus. Y'all hear? Y'all going home already. Words are the start button to everything for everything you're believing God for. All right? Let's go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Let's look at another version of this. Matthew 17. And we're going to start at verse 14, a boy's getting healed. And then when they come from the multitude, a man to him, kneeling down to Jesus, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers severely, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." In other words, this boy was rolling on the ground, rolling in the dirt, getting wet and getting in fire, almost drowning. And then Jesus said, "Oh, faithless." What is he saying? "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how often shall I be, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Now, in other words, this man didn't know how to talk. That's why Jesus located him right away and called him faithless and perverse, because it's anybody can talk about their problems, but it's very rare for people to talk to their problems. He knew every detail about his problem. "My son is an epileptic. He's rolling on the ground, foaming at the mouth, getting falling into the water, almost drowning, or falling into the fire, almost getting burnt up. Lord, can you please help me?" And what did Jesus say? "You're faithless and perverse, because you only talk about your problems. You only talk about your mountain. You don't have any faith." And he says, Jesus rebuked the demon. Jesus knew how to talk to the problem. And it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Everybody say, Jesus can do it. He can do it through you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, Jesus can do it through you. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and says, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And so Jesus said to him, "Because of your unbelief." Everybody say, unbelief. Whew. It's a bad thing. "For surely I say unto you that if you have faith as a mustard seed." So in other words, Jesus quantifies faith and qualifies faith, saying you don't have to have anything but a little bit, like a mustard seed would be like a little bit of grain, almost bigger than a grain of a pepper or salt. It's really small. He said you only need a small amount of faith. You need a small amount of faith, he says. And he says, as a grain of mustard, you will say to this mountain. That means if you had a lick of faith, your mouth would be moving. Your words would start the process. And he says, and he said, move here, say to the mountain, move here from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Now, look at this. Brothers and sisters, I only need a little bit of faith as the size of a mustard seed. One time I got bought a pack of mustard seeds just to look at them, just to have them, because I needed to know how much faith do I need to move a mountain. Jesus said this amount, faith. But he said if you had that amount working in you, you would say something. So we often say it this way: if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say. That's why you need crazy faith friends to tell you, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your body? See, you want people to say and commiserate with your misery. And tell you, oh, girl, child, you don't know. You know, this, and my kids and my family and my money and my pain. That's faithless and perverse. But you need crazy faith friends to say, come on now. We don't need to talk about that problem. We need to talk to that problem. Come on, let's talk to it. But most people don't want people to tell them to talk to stuff. They want them to listen to you talk about stuff. Because that's why TV and social media and the, you know, just media in general is flowing. It's bent. It's bent that way for you to talk about what's going on instead of talk about what you want to go on. All right. I know I'm not getting any help right now. He said, however, this kind comes not out except by prayer and fasting. Everybody say prayer and fasting. Somebody say prayer and fasting. So we say it this way. Even a small amount of faith is adequate to move mountains. Our faith in God and faith in his word be strong enough to move our mouth to, before it will ever be strong enough to move our mountain. Why? Because words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. Our ministry as disciples always requires what? Faith and prayerful reliance on God. In other words, we gotta come away from the world and come away from our worries and come away from our woes and turn to God. In other words, we gotta fast from the world and connect to heaven. Sometimes it requires you to push away food because your flesh is so strong in what it feels and what it senses. You gotta break off the flesh by fasting and praying up to get connected to heaven. And this will cure unbelief. If unbelief is curable, everything is curable, and that's why Jesus says all things will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible to you. Now, I just showed every one of you how to get free through Matthew 17. You're walking around worrying. You're walking around wondering. You're walking around with wicked thoughts going through your head. I don't know how this is ever going to happen. I don't see how this can ever come past. What are you struggling with? Unbelief. And if unbelief is curable, because Jesus didn't mince word, he didn't give him a different answer. He said, why couldn't we cure this? Why couldn't we fix this? He said, because of your unbelief. And if unbelief is curable, everything is curable. He said nothing shall be. If you just had faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be removed here to there, or the King James says, from hence to yonder place, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Man, some of y'all should be shouting and hanging off this little thing up here. Hallelujah. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. But he said faith starts with words. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say, oh my goodness. Do I got the thinking crowd today? Do I have the amen and receiving crowd today? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, glory to God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. Look at this again. But the righteousness of faith does what? Speaks. In this way. So in other words, you're not going to have double tongue or double talk. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. Look what it says. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or what, who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? So in other words, it doesn't say, Jesus, come down and help me, or God, you got to do something. And it doesn't say, Jesus, you got to come and sacrifice, because this sin problem, this sickness problem, this situation is so bad, you got to come back and come down and sacrifice on the cross again for me and die for my sins again. Now, it's the same thing as someone embalmed or embedded in their thinking with unbelief. When you think this is an impossible turnaround, God himself is amazed and complexed at my problem. You're saying the wrong thing. What does it say? What does it say? He said, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. What are we preaching? The word of faith. Why? Because verse 17 of this chapter says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when I'm saying what Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you, you need to be mixing faith with it. I say, Lord, I believe that. I receive that. That's why I said, are you the thinking crowd or you're the amen corner? Because words are the starting button to everything that you're believing God for. Words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. Words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. In other words, when the word comes, you say amen. You mix faith with it. Say, so be it to me. When you say amen, that's so be it to me. Nothing shall be impossible. I know, Pastor, I went sit in front of the doctor and he told me in the report that was negative or bad or really disappointing and discouraging, but nothing shall be impossible to you. If you just have a little bit of faith and as a ball of the mustard, you can speak to that mountain. You can speak to that disease. You can speak to that sickness. You can speak to that situation. But if you can't say amen in church, you're going to have a hard time at home. Especially when it's coming from the words and lips of Jesus from the Bible. I know. Some of us dealing with unbelief. Unbelief's like a big booger bear to you. Got you all wrapped up. But you got to be able to say amen. I believe I received that. Praise God. He didn't say you need a mountain load of faith. He said you need a mustard seed size of faith. Just a little bit to move your mouth. Say, Lord, I agree with that. Amen. Be it unto me. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's see. He said, word of faith to repeat. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions is made unto salvation. So in other words, your heart and your mouth have duties, responsibilities, which one, your heart believes, and according to Mark 11:24, it believes that it receives. It believes unto righteousness. Righteousness is not a fruit. Righteousness is a gift. You believe, and that makes you righteous with God. In other words, you have right standing with God. You have a good position with the Father. You have the ability to go before the presence of God without any guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So some people think I got to do right. I got to talk right. I got to think right. I got to act right. I got to do something right. No, you have to believe to be righteous. Don't doubt in your heart. I believe God's word. Then he said, confession is made unto salvation. So in other words, you confess with your mouth. Everybody say, you believe and you speak. Praise God. So with confessions, you take possession of what God's word has said. Not what you're saying, what God's word has said, because you're saying the same thing God's word says. So we printed out some extra confessions that we have. I'm going to just show them to you. This is an I am confession of faith in Christ. And Lou or somebody can come. If you want that, you have it. We have them on the table. Amen. Because everybody needs to be doubling up on their confessions or really doubling down on confession, I should say. Double down on confession. You need to be making sure you say that. Then this is one, 20 faith-building confessions. 20 faith-building confessions. Now, what did we say last week? And we said the week before last. We said that everybody should be at least to get established and stable in Christ, at least doing what? Praying the Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and what? Making confessions, who you are in Christ, and then, of course, you should be praying in the spirit. Those are duties with your mouth. Because words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. Let your mouth do its duty. Don't allow your mouth to be derelict of duty. Can I have an amen to that? All right, here's one. It's a couple more, Blue. Who you are in Christ. 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 You need to have that. You belong to this church. This is Triumphant Word Christian Center. But that triumphant word needs to be coming out of your mouth. Amen. You don't have to get more. You don't have to get more. You don't have to get more. We're not asking you to pass out all every one of them. They're on the table. They're on the table. All right. And then confession for your healing. Don't get more. Amen. Amen. Follow instructions. Thank you. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. Next slide. Next slide. Oh, wait. We got these scriptures here. Matthew 19:26. He said, Jesus looked at him intently and says, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with what? God, everything is what? How does God cooperate with you? By faith. Everybody say by faith. And faith is two main components, right? Believing in your heart, speaking with your mouth. Words are the start button. You can have faith in your heart, believe in your heart, but you have to speak with your mouth to start the process. Amen? All right, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be what? Does everybody believe that? With God, nothing will be impossible. Okay, next slide. All right, so we're going to go through start buttons. And let's talk a little bit about words, because the Bible says in Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth, you are taken by the words of your mouth. In other words, when you're not happy with what you have in life, where do you check first? 1 inch below your nose, right here. If you're not happy or satisfied with what you have in life, you got to check this right here. Most people check and look at other people and how somebody done me wrong and how my kids treat me bad and how my job didn't take care of me or I deserve a promotion or the government's taking away my check and this and that. They got all kinds of reasons to blame everything and everyone else, but you got to look where? Your own mouth. Because you are snared by the words of your mouth and you are taken by the words of your mouth, not somebody else's mouth. Somebody say, praise God. So if you've been stuck with a problem and you just can't seem to fix it, there may be a simple answer. Find out how to press the start button to everything you're believing for and walk in manifested victory. So have you ever found yourself snared by a particular persistent problem, stuck on some stubborn spot of trouble that you can't seem to fix? You've done everything you know to do. You focused on it. You prayed about it. You scratched your head over it, but you still can't figure out what's behind it. You don't know why it's like it is. It just is. So call up your family and friends and talk about it. You may describe the problem to one person and then another and again, you say things like, man, this is bad. Or nothing I do seems to help. Maybe you even know better than to talk that way, but you've gotten so caught up with the negative flow of the circumstances and the world around you, you just open up your mouth and let it rip. You release the torrent of unbelieving, ungodly confessions that actually perpetuate the lousy condition you're so desperate to change. So the problem, what is the problem? As long as we keep calling those things that are like they are, those things are never going to change. If I get up here and corner past Cynthia and say, let me tell you about my problems, what am I doing? I'm putting myself in a no change situation. Now, if I present the problem, but also present the promise, and we pray about it, and not just talk about it, then I set the change in motion. So what's the answer? We must start calling those things that are not as though they already are. We started, Pastor Cynthia and I started when each one of our kids are born. Now they're all in their 30s. But from the birth of their womb, birth from her womb, I held them up and said, I call them healthy. I call them strong physically. I call them academic stalwarts. Every single one of them, great grades in school, great GT classes and honors classes. College under their belt. Geniuses in a one sense the word, not in an academic sense the word. But I didn't call what I don't want to come. We called what we wanted to come. Amen. If I call kids or grandkids bad, terrible, disrespectful, ill-mannered, what am I going to get? What am I sowing? If I talk about my kids or grandkids that they're always bad, they're always problematic, they're always selfish or this or that, or we get into caught up with labels, right, and through putting labels on people through our lips. Is anybody here or everybody gone home already? The Lord got on me one time, even at working. Many of y'all remember when I worked for Church of Chicken, it was 2 years. I was a senior manager, and God said, 2 years, it was 2 years removed since I've been promoted to a senior manager, and God says, you haven't asked me for promotion in 2 years. And I thought about it for just a second. I said, wait a minute, it was 2 years to the time. I said, that's right, Lord. He said, well, when are you going to ask? Well, I didn't press the start button. And words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. So I had to stir up my faith, where? In my heart, believe in my heart, and then stir up my confession and my prayer with my what? With my mouth, and confess and call in that promotion. Everybody say, within 10 days. 10 days, I was promoted to director. Now, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. Faith works the same for all of us that way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what are you believing? What are you speaking? This 21st day of September, this new week coming up. What are you going to say about this week? What are you going to say about this month? What are you going to say about the rest of this month or the next month or the next month after that? Because Jesus said you have what you think. No, he said you have what you say. So you got to start calling those things as not as though they already are. Think of your words like pushing a start button as you go about your day. What happens? You push a number of different start buttons to activate different processes and functions at work and at home or at home. You push a button to turn on your coffee pot, dishwasher, washing machine, computer, DVD, DVR player, television. Everybody familiar with those, right? A start button sets in motion the process in which we receive the desired results. Coffee, clean dishes, functioning computer. Everybody got the concept? The same is true in the spiritual realm when we speak words. The same is true. Now, what does that mean? We have a host of promises from God's word that we can expect to see come to pass in our lives. But the first thing we have to set our faith in motion is by speaking and calling things the way we want them to be and not how they are. I often say it this way. Some people are good fact reporters. They tell the facts in detail, minute detail, but they're not good faith reporters. Faith always gives a good report. It's the good report of God's promised word. It's a good report of God. How's it going? According to the word of God, I am healed. You might be battling something, but you don't call yourself and identify with yourself with the struggle. You identify with the Savior and the promise. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. According to the word of God. I'm not healed because I feel healed or I look healed. I'm healed because God said I'm healed. So I'm saying the same thing that God's saying. Somebody say hallelujah. And so you might say, oh, I've heard that again and again, Pastor. I do speak words of faith, but it doesn't work for me. And I got three words for you. It just did. Because you just changed it and canceled it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You see, your words are a start button. Everybody say, my words are a start button. When you push the button, you set things in motion, either good or bad. When we speak words, all of heaven is waiting to hear what we will say so that our words can be acted upon. The devil has no right to us except what we give him through our words. He has to get the permit from you or the permission from you through your own words to be able to encroach and invade your space and your territory, your home, your heart, your head. And when you're like this, if you can see me, look at my face. If you're moody and mad and you got your mouth all puffed up, you're losing by default. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said what? He said, by your words, you are justified. And by your words, you are condemned. You can go next slide, guys. So words first have, these are the ways your words are the start button. Words have creative power. Everybody say, my words have creative power. So the tongue has the power of life and death. And those that love it will eat its fruit. So I'm either killing stuff or bringing stuff to life by my lips. That's why we got to get a grip on our lip and not let it slip. Now, I wish I would have found out earlier, some of these guys who were giants in the faith, they stopped their hair loss by their words. I found out too late. I got to deal with my noggin. What are you saying about your hair? Come on now. If God knows the number, Lord, stop the number. I don't want any negative numbers on my head. I believe you to receive full hair follicles. Somebody say hallelujah. If I'd have found out earlier, just there was a guy that was 86 or 87 years old, and he had all his original teeth in his mouth. He was a deacon in a church. No cavity once, no root canals, crowns or dentures or anything. He's like, I got all my original teeth. How'd you do that? Everybody say words. So he spoke and he said, I asked God also to keep this. And he stuck out his tongue. That's in 1 Peter 3. If you love life and want to see good days and keep yourself from evil, he said, keep your tongue from speaking what? Evil, and your lips from speaking what? Guile. or deceit. In other words, he said, your lips can speak evil. Evil is anything or everything that it takes you away from your God-intended purpose and plan. God didn't want you to spend millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, not millions, thousands of dollars on dental bills. And you're all in dental plan. You can't talk to nobody. You can't even smile because you're ashamed of your teeth. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. But somebody said, praise the Lord. And so he said, I pray God keep this. So he said, keep this. Keep me from speaking evil. Keep me from gossip and strife. Keep my mouth from saying negative things, bad things about people. And then keep me from speaking deceitful lies. Words are the start button for everything you're believing God for. Words have creative power. So he never creates a situation. He said, thank you, God, for keeping my tongue and keeping my teeth and keeping my hair. Because the same guy who said that he had full head of hair. Didn't need any hair coloring because he asked to God and negotiated with God and said, what color do you want me to be? Gray, brown, or bald? He said, you can keep your brown hair. Words matter. Words mean everything. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So like it or not, what? This is a word-created, word-controlled universe. God established it that way from the very beginning. Our Father God made everything by calling things that are not as though they were. He set the whole system in motion by speaking into the darkness and saying, light be, and light was. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is made clear that we live under a word-activated system. It's always been that way. It always will be. Somebody say amen. We can't change that fact. We can, however, choose the words under which we live. We change our environment by what we say. Jesus explained it. He said what? Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So stop talking ugly. Everybody say, stop talking ugly. Stop talking ungodly and stop talking in unbelief. I'll say it one more time. Stop talking ugly, stop talking ungodly, and stop talking unbelief. All right, the second way. Let's look at the second way. Second way, next slide. Words determine what you have. We just read that in Mark 11:23. For surely I say unto you, whatever things you say to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So even when you don't know the truth about words, choosing the right words is no easy feat. Some famous ministers who's in heaven today used to say and compare it to paddling upstream. Years ago, they talked about how the whole world is in a negative flow. These are the generals that have gone into heaven, of past. It's going the wrong way. If you just relax, you'll wind up drifting downstream. In other words, if you don't have discipline in your speech, you're going to be talking negative. You can't stay neutral. And, of course, with everyone else, and end up sick, broken, eventually dead. You have to build yourself a spiritual canoe out of God's word. And you have to grab your faith oars and get yourself turned around and start rowing the other way. When they pop up on your feed saying, breaking news, a new virus that's 10 times worse than COVID-19. How do you respond to that? Learn to say this, not that in here. It's already affecting California or Colorado or it's moving up from Mexico, this and that coming. And you get into fear and you get in that negative flow, then you're saying, well, I got to be scared and watch out for this coming. I got to watch out for that coming. That's why we vaccinate our faith. Is your faith fully vaccinated in the healing promises of God and in Psalms 91? Everybody say this, not that here. Oh, so-and-so got the flu. They got the allergy seasons coming up. Or they got this coming down the pipeline. Or they're getting that cough again. Or they're getting that weepiness from their eyes. Their eyes are all puffy and swollen up. And this is going on in their brain. And this is going on in their body. What do we say? Not that. Come on, church. Not that here. Not that here. Y'all making it tough on me today. Why is this so important? Because you have what you say. That's Mark 11:23, wrapped up in an easy to understand package, so you don't have to work to misunderstand it. It's what the word of faith beliefs are based on. It is spiritual truth. Some people don't want to believe the truth. It's true because they'd be responsible for what's going on in their own lives. And everybody has a responsibility to keep a grip on what? Your lips, and don't let them slip. So you're responsible for what you say. Because Jesus said you have what you say. Not what other people say. Not what your cousin and Pookie and Ray said. What you say. What you say. You have what you say. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so most people want to blame the devil or God or God's will for the problems they are faced. Charles Capps, who's in heaven, said the Lord told him this: I told my people they can have what they say, and they are saying what they have. See that? Saying what you have has no power to change things. And we spend a lot of energy and a lot of words telling people what's going on, what's happening in my life. We're good fact reporters, but we're not good faith reporters. In fact, if you typically update your pain, your problem, and your present circumstances when you speak and say only what you have and feel. Every time you talk about it, you update it. You say, my migraines. You update it. And the devils go, boys, we got permission. We just got our permit. Let's go enforce migraine headaches. Arr, you can't even get out of bed. Can't even see because there's so much pain and pressure up here. You update it. What am I supposed to do, Pastor? We're teaching you. Faith is not denial of the pain, of the problem, but faith speaks the truth of God's word into that pain and into that problem so that pain or the problem changed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. That's good. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap or something, or do something. We're almost done here. Whew. Number three, next slide. Almost done. Words are Satan's way of stealing from you. Now, how many words has he stolen from you this month, this year? Look, God, we're almost finished with September. We got 3 months left. Did he steal your victory for 9 months? Let him ask in faith, who, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person not supposed to think he will see anything from the Lord. How does he steal it from us? He makes us waver. We see in this verse two simple choices. You can waver or you can receive. Now, this is not talking about every once in a while. He's talking about every day. You can waver because we're supposed to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So in other words, if you step out in the start of the day living by faith, the devil's going to try to make you waver and worry and vacillate and doubt, and so he can steal from you. What you would have received by faith, you can't get it now because you're wavering and you're worrying and you're doubting. Is this good preaching or not? Satan has one tactic in mind, to get you to doubt. Doubt is the subroot word meaning duo, which means vacillate, to be double-minded or of two minds. One way you're in faith, the next way you're in fear and panic. You can't do both. And if the devil can tempt you to doubt, then you just let all the faith run out. Doubt is a robber of what your faith is standing on, of God's blessings in your life. See, remember this. Let's break this down a little bit more. If Satan has any authority on his own, he would have to depend on deception. He would force us to make it, and if he had any authority. But remember, we have been delivered from control, domination, and authority of darkness, the devil and his demon cohorts. Everybody say amen to that. So the devil has to trick you into saying what he wants you to come, wants to go about. Oh, I can't, my toe hurts. Oh, this is killing me. Oh, I feel like I'm dying. I feel like this is horrible. I feel like I just want to give up. That defeatist, that doubt-filled, that down-talking is the devil. And so he tricks you to say what he wants to come. So with your words, you either resist or comply with Satan's demands. With your words, you either resist or comply with God's word. You are in command and in control. The decision is yours. Nobody else makes it for you. The reason you staying in the word of God continually is so important is because Satan and his demon cohorts are just waiting to curse you. Remember, we said the devil never takes a day off. You may take a day off, and you might just throw your hair back on Saturday or Friday night, and you just get loose with your lips and get loose with your thinking, and then the devil is able to creep in there. Never, your faith should never take a day off. Your faith should never sleep in or bag it in for the day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so he's ready to curse you. How does he curse you? He robs you. He puts a blessing blocker, gets you to doubt, gets you to say words that are evil or not godly, what we say unbelief, ungodly, or unhealthy words, and you release them out there, and then bam, bam, he's robbed you. You got to have discipline in your speech. And they want to steal, kill, and destroy all the promises of God before they ever reach you. He cancels them out. But you can do it. He can do it without your cooperation. He can't do it without your cooperation. He can't do it without your cooperation. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. And you are the only one who can give him access to your promises. And you do this through your words. So the first step in defeating Satan's attack against you is to make a decision. You're not going to allow him to change or to cancel out your confession of faith. Everybody say, devil, I do not allow you to cancel out or change my confession of faith from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Next, last one. This is good stuff, isn't it? All right. Faith-filled words change your circumstances. A good person produces good things out of a good treasure of his heart, and an evil person produces evil things out of the treasure of his evil heart. Many people hear the word, that's Matthew 12:35, hear the word of faith and decide they will change their circumstances by speaking faith-filled words, according to Mark 11:23. So many people don't realize is that you can't fill your words with faith out of your own determination and willpower. So some people try to live this Christian life through their mind and their flesh. You can't do it through your mind and your flesh. Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is on the spirit channel. It must work in your heart, believing and then speaking and acting upon the word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So that is religious works when you try to do it out of determination. Well, I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna get in shape. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna pray more. I'm gonna pray harder. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna stop being angry. I'm gonna stop saying those things. What is that? Determination and willpower. And you can grit your upper lip all you want. You're not going to change. Only faith-filled words change your circumstances. You get angry and come down here and cry in front of me, but they're not going to change. Somebody say, praise the Lord, because you're operating in religious works and dead works. The words become faith words by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And so that's why it's important about keeping up with your Bible reading, reading the Bible aloud, feeding your faith through your ears, from your own lips, feeding them into your spirit. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Words become faith by you spending time meditating on the word of God, Joshua 1:8, and then continually hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing yourself speak the word of God into your heart through your ears. Faith remains and faith expands in your heart. So when you get up and read the Bible, don't just read it with your eyeballs, read it with your mouth and feed your heart full of faith. And starve your doubts and fears to death. Somebody say hallelujah. So if the world is distracting you and unwitting or wicked people are disrupting you or interrupting you from your time with the Father, yes, the devil's involved in that. That's why many of us get behind on our Bible reading. Because the world's getting you so busy and bothered. Satan wants to take faith from you and put doubt in you. And then as words, more likely your face will be empty words. So you'll say it and mimic them in church, but you won't build them at home. You're not going to experience resurrection power unless you set your affection on him and spend time and throne time with our Father God and with the Lord Jesus and his word. Somebody stand. You stand to your feet, please. Praise God. Lift your hands and thank God. Words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. Words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. Words are the start button to everything you're believing God for. Whew. Glory to God. Words are the start button for everything you're believing God for. Hallelujah. Faith words, faith-filled words. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Hallelujah. What are you saying about your relationships? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your career? What are you saying about God giving you words? We did it the first sermon of this month. We said, Jesus, John 17, I've given them the words. God's given us the words. But we got to use those words to build our faith in our heart, to believe, and our come out of our mouth to confess and receive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you've given me words to speak to these, your precious people, to help us grow up and come up in faith, in our faithfulness, and operate in full functionality in our righteousness with you. Thank you, Father God, that you've given them revelation and impartation and instruction from this day forward to speak words of faith and push that start button the right way to everything that they're believing and trusting you for, dear Father God, in Jesus' name, so that we know that this is a war of words, but we win the war of words because we have the right words. We have Jesus' words. We have your words, dear Father, and we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.